broadcasting live from our Westlake studios overlooking the great city of Austin and helping you maneuver through this waning dystopia. It's episode number 258 of Shirts and Skins with Chad and Trey. Coming up this hour at 12:45, the Crap Bag chats with Rodney Rodriguez about NASCAR at COTA this weekend. At 12:30, it's the anniversary of one of the all-time great sports taunts. What other examples of showing up your opponent belong on that list? And in mere minutes, we have another no-hitter in baseball. Tebow to Jacksonville is official, and ACL Music Fest releases its lineup. I'm Trey Elling, and sitting across from me is a Waxahachie native and level-headed Aggie who may speak your death into existence if he doesn't like you. It's Chad Hastings.
Ah, you damn right. Hope everybody's having a good Thursday. We hit May 20th, and there's all kinds of stuff going on. First off, when Trey says waning dystopia, he ain't kidding. Congrats to the students that are going to graduate in this state at some of the big universities, not only for graduating, but you get to do it without a mask if you choose. A&M had already made that decision. The University of Texas has now made that decision. So spring commencements, Trey, can feel a little more normal where you can go through that, not have a mask on, and feel like you're actually graduating in like a real world situation.
It's a glorious thing, Chad.
That is beautiful. Beautiful.
I have made a decision on when I am wearing masks into places and when I'm not.
Okay.
And it comes down to something very simple.
All right.
If I am required to interact with somebody who is having to provide customer service, then I'm wearing a mask inside. Otherwise, I'm probably not anymore.
That's generally what I do. I hit the grocery store yesterday, and in the particular Walmart that I hit, everybody's still masking.
Customer service.
Yep, there you go. So I left it on, ready to go.
Into this building and out of this building each and every day, I'm no longer wearing the mask.
I'm still going in and out of the building. Once I get up here, I'm taking it off. I'm going to go as long as that sign's on the door out there.
I get that.
So, you know.
I am refusing to acknowledge the sign until they fix the blinds in here.
The blinds issue, I love
that. There was a guy 3 days ago who came up and was like pointing in here like, yeah, man, I'm going to get that done for you today. And here we are on Thursday, and I'm still having to tie the blinds up with freaking baling twine.
What's the line from Money Pit? 2 weeks, right? 2 weeks? We'll be here in 2 weeks. We're going to get it done?
Look, our kitchen is about to be remodeled in less time than it's taking this building to replace the freaking broken-ass blinds in this control room.
Oh, that is awesome. All right, not awesome. I'm rooting for you. I hope you get the blinds.
Hey, I have it's quasi-breaking news because it's very self-serving for me and my family, Chad, but you as a Star Wars nerd can maybe appreciate this.
Sure, I'm always up for Star Wars news.
Finished watching Empire Strikes Back with the 6 and 4 year old last night.
Yes, did they get the whole way through? Did they paying attention
all the way through? They weren't ever scared.
Nice.
The scenes with Yoda, the fight at the end
when Han Solo does that yoga pose, so creepy.
The fight at the end between Luke and Darth Vader.
Great battle. Yeah.
And as the battle is happening, I turned to my kids and I said, who are you rooting for right now?
Oh, no.
And Vivi's like, Luke Skywalker. And I'm like, okay, that's understandable. I'm like, what about you, Calvin? My four-year-old son turns to me and says, Darth Vader.
Vader.
He doesn't have a smile on his face. He is giving me the dead red honest answer in that moment. So I've got a kid that's rooting for Darth Vader in my family.
Hey, you know what? Deep down, we all understood back in the day that, yes, he is the bad guy, but he looked really cool.
Yeah.
If I hadn't gone as Darth Vader for Halloween when I was a kid, I would get on him. But I only dressed up for Star Wars twice, and they were bad guys both times. I went Vader, and I went Boba Fett.
Oh, you did go as Darth Vader, because I think that's what he's planning on going as this Halloween.
And this was like, you know, late 70s, early 80s. So it was the plastic mask, rubber band, and then I can't even remember what. My mom might have even cheaped it out where I wore the mask, but she made me the. I don't even know if I had the costume on my body or if we just took like a white sheet and painted it black or something.
She's like, this. She has like just like dark jeans, black jeans, like a black button-down shirt, and then she gives you the black cape to go along with the actual Halloween mask. And she's like, this year you're going as Darth Vader, next year you're going as young Johnny Cash.
Right, exactly. Here we have Darth Vader in a poncho for Halloween. Yeah, that's I would just say that's something you want to pay attention to. Just keep an eye on it. But that world did create some bad guys that were pretty cool looking. So I think that explains it.
Darth Vader looks much cooler than Luke Skywalker.
Right, yeah.
In that scene especially.
Because that's also the Mark Hamill in Empire Strikes Back after he's had the accident in real life that changed his face.
That's right.
So it's a different Mark Hamill, too. Mark Hamill in the first Star Wars movie just has a level of handsome that he does not have in Empire. So, which does rough it up a bit, and they use that to their advantage in Empire. But I'm glad they enjoyed it. And now, are you moving on to Return of the Jedi? Have they seen Return of the Jedi?
They haven't seen that one yet. No, they were already clamoring for that last night.
Oh, they're going to love it. You got some Ewoks mixed in, more Yoda, and maybe yoga. We'll have it all going on.
Wait a second. Did Yoda not die in Empire Strikes Back?
He did not.
Oh, my apologies.
No. Spoiler alert, dude. Easy.
Well, they read all of these like simple 5-minute stories of each of these movies, so they have a basic idea of what's happening.
Now you have a great scene coming up with Yoda. Great scene in Return of the Jedi.
Like they saw Princess Leia and Luke kiss like they did in Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah.
And they know that they're siblings.
Right.
And so Vivi turns to me and she's like, Daddy, can Calvin and I kiss like that? And I said, no. Because you don't realize this because you've read all these other stories so many times. They don't know their brother and sister yet.
Yeah, they don't know it. Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah, that's a good thing to explain. I love the questions your children ask. They ask the most wonderful question. Kids are so great that way. They will cut right through all the crap.
Well, their dad is me.
That's true. You're teaching them. So, of course, they're going to end up with good questions. Speaking of good questions from Trey and answers that are fantastic, it is a Thursday, so it's another podcast Thursday on the show. Trey will be telling you about his latest podcast that's hitting Books on Pod, and it is with a musician today that some of you may be familiar with. Talib Kweli has written a book. An extremely intelligent guy. The music's really interesting. If you have not been into, if you dig rap and you have not checked out Talib Kweli, definitely do that. But the book is called Vibrate Higher. We'll play some of that interview for you at 2 o'clock. Trey will be playing music throughout. Do we have some safe Talib Kweli that won't get us fired today?
We'll find out.
Cross your fingers.
Glad you're reminding me right now. Make sure that delay is built up. It is.
And we'll get to more music stuff coming up because ACL has announced their lineup. But first, let's just make it official. We're going to try to treat this like it needs to be treated. It's a piece of sports news, but we're not going to flip out about it. Tim Tebow is a Jacksonville Jaguar. It is happening. He has signed. He is going to be a tight end. And Trey, from what I'm understanding, the jerseys, when they were initially on sale, they threw a zero on there because they didn't have a number yet. But I'm seeing 85 as the very possible Tim Tebow number. So he is going to be a tight end for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Maybe. He's going to try to be a tight end for the Jaguars. And I'll admit, Trey, the other day I did not dig into the roster to figure out exactly. I knew they had five of them. I've now looked at the five. I totally get why Urban Meyer's doing this. I mean, I totally understand.
Is it a bunch of scrubs?
Here are the names. You tell me when you recognize one. Chris Manhertz.
Yeah, Chris.
Yeah, sure. Played at Canisius. 6 catches last year, no touchdowns. James O'Shaughnessy.
Nope.
Played at Illinois State. 28 catches last year, no touchdowns. Luke Farrell from Ohio State. 5th round pick this year. Ben Ellefson. 1 catch, no touchdowns, played at North Dakota State, and no catches for Tyler Davis, 6th round pick in last year's draft out of Georgia Tech.
Okay.
That's who they have on the roster.
All right.
There you go. So there is a football reason for this. It's not like there's a Hunter Henry, a Kelsey, or even a Jared Cook. There's just not. Jarwin, no. They don't exist. The most catches you got is, like I said, about 20-something catches. And supposedly when they asked Tebow to go work on stuff, he came back. He had worked on it. They liked it enough to say to Urban, and apparently Urban didn't watch him work out either time, but that's the claim anyway. They went to Urban and said, yeah, you know what, coach, he worked on it. He looks all right. And you know what he is drive-wise. Kid's going to try until he passes out. But, yeah, we think it could be something. we think he could fit into that room that I just mentioned with those other five dudes.
Although you do take anything he says with a grain of salt, I'm inclined to believe Urban Meyer that he didn't watch him work out either time. that he wanted to remove himself from that situation and say, look, yes, you guys check it out. Obviously, this is a long shot, but if he shows you enough between time A and time B, we'll at least sign him and have him as part of the offseason plans.
Yeah, that's actually a great point. I haven't heard anybody angle it that way. But you're right. That's how to get a legitimate look. Fellas, I trust you. You go look at it.
I love this guy, but I'm not going to let my bias come into play.
I'm too close. Right? It's like if your best friend in the world opens a restaurant and they're the head chef and you're saying, why don't you taste the dish? I'm too close. I can't. You taste it, right? If you tell me it's the best steak you ever had, then we'll go. But I can't tell you that because I went to high school with the guy.
Yeah.
You know, he's my boy. So, that is interesting. So Tebow is in Jacksonville. He'll be a tight end, and your jerseys are available. I'm sure they'll be a bestseller very quickly.
They have already, Chad, topped Tom Brady as the best-selling jersey in the NFL for all of 2021.
Are you serious?
No.
Please tell me that's not true.
That was not true.
Oh, my goodness. Thank you. Yeah. Okay, people buying that many jerseys today?
Well, sadly, I said something that is very unbelievable, but considering what happened the last time that he was in the NFL, you did bite a little bit. So I totally get why you just bit.
Right. Tebow stuff, it's like it is the stuff of legends. And a lot of times it sounds fake, but some of his real stuff sounds fake.
Right.
So best of luck to Tim Tebow with the Jacksonville Jaguars. It will be an interesting story for them. Let's see if they can balance it out. Let's see if Urban Meyer can keep it from becoming too big of a deal. Let's see if Trevor Lawrence can deal with it. And then how does it all work when one media guy, Trey, sees a practice rep or hears about a practice rep where Tebow throws a jump pass or Tebow takes a snap? Then you're going to have to, that's going to ramp up at that point.
If he's number 85, I think that there is much less a chance of that happening.
I would hope so. Yeah, hopefully not. Now, you know, you want to do a little weird, like, throw out to the flat and then let him throw the ball? That's another discussion.
Yeah, as long as it's not happening too often.
No, right. The trick play every once in a while. I'm interested to see what he could do as a tight end, and let's see if he can sort of factor into it. And, you know he can be physical. At least back then he could be physical. But this is a 33, about to be 34, I think, year old Tim Tebow. So that has happened. It is official now. You can have all your Tebow discussions. Another discussion that happens around these parts every year before the pandemic hit was the ACL Music Festival. That's right. The Austin City Limits Festival hits every fall around here. And once again, Trey, we're set for October. Sounds like they're re-racking everything. We're hoping it's all normal, normal world and no masks, and we don't need to social distance. And I guess it's a full house for ACL. That would be awesome.
Yep.
Now we know some artists. I have not. You've given me a couple names, but that's all I know. So let's run it down. However you want to go through this, tell me who's playing ACL.
Why don't we start with the six headliners, Chad?
Headliners. All right, here we go.
And the top name amongst the six headliners, he's huge, but it's still a shock for this festival.
Okay.
George Strait.
Wow. Has George ever played ACL?
I don't know.
You're saying it's a little weird, not because he's not popular, but it's because he's in the straight country world, and that's not really what ACL is.
Correct.
Yeah.
I mean, there's another longtime artist that I think maybe makes a little bit more sense just for what ACL usually is to put at the very top. And it's not George Strait.
Okay.
But you take into consideration the state and perhaps that changes the conversation. Now, I'm just going to go down the list here. So the second billing, Billie Eilish.
That's a big name.
That's the sort of name that makes sense for ACL Fest.
Yep.
The third name, the other legend that makes a lot of sense for this festival. Stevie Nicks.
Oh, Stevie Nicks. Okay. A definite female influence so far.
Miley Cyrus.
Whoa.
Comes in fourth. The next two people I have not heard of before.
Okay.
Hopefully you have.
All right.
Rufus Du Sol.
I have not. Du Sol? Spell that.
D-U space S-O-L.
God, I wish there was a hyphen in my name. That'd be just cool. Oh, it's space. Not a hyphen.
A space.
Full space. Space. Okay. Wow. Should have thought of that. Okay. And the sixth?
I apologize if I'm mispronouncing this one. Dababy.
DaBaby.
D-A-B-A-B-Y. Dababy.
Is that hang on. You need to double check this one for me. Is DaBaby? DaBaby is not that little, the girl that was on Dr. Phil running her mouth, is it?
No, that's Bahad Bahaby.
Well, that's Bad Baby. Right.
Thank you, BK, for that useless piece of
information. Okay, that's Bad Baby. This is DaBaby.
Oh, is it really DaBaby? It's not DaBaby?
I don't think it's DaBaby. I think it's DaBaby.
Mm. And then this artist I'm very familiar with, I dig her, actually spoke with Talib Kweli about her, Erykah Badu.
Ooh, okay.
Is the sixth headliner. I don't know if she belongs on top billing.
Okay, wait a minute.
As big a fan as I am of hers.
Wait, I had seven there. Are you saying that Rufus Du Sol and DaBaby are together?
Separate.
Okay.
Oh, no, you're right. I'm sorry. It is seven.
It is seven.
My apologies.
All right, I got you. Erykah Badu. All right. A definite female influence on this list, man. Four out of the seven. I'm assuming Rufus Du Sol is male. I don't. DaBaby, I think, is female.
Let's see.
Double check that. I know the name of
DaBaby. No, male.
That's a male. Okay. All right. DaBaby. I've heard that artist somewhere. Maybe it was a Saturday Night Live performance or something like that, and just could not remember. All right. So yeah. So four women, three men, seven main artists there for ACL. The ACL Festival. So, Trey, I'll admit, I've not been to ACL Festival. I'm always working and doing all kinds of things in October. So,
me neither, but I'm going to try and go credentialed this year so I can talk to people behind the scenes.
Excellent. So, when people hear these main names, does that mean that... So, it runs two weekends, right? It goes basically Friday to Sunday twice.
Correct.
So, then this tells me that these artists will be on some main stages, but... Could they also be like on main stages at the exact same time?
Yes.
Okay. So I may have to choose whether I want to watch George Strait or Billie Eilish.
Probably.
I may have to pick between Stevie Nicks and Miley Cyrus.
I'm guessing that George Strait, Billie Eilish, Stevie Nicks and Miley Cyrus are performing on separate nights. So that won't be a decision that you're having to make.
Okay, that'd be good.
Like, they normally split up the biggest acts into different slots altogether, different days altogether.
Right, somebody texted in, y'all sound very white. Yes, we do. Yes, we do.
You're not going to dupe me into thinking that it's DaBaby. It's DaBaby.
Somebody's already texted DaBaby. It says DaBaby is a guy, and then another person, DaBaby, two words.
Well... Yeah, it'd be nice if it was spelled two words, but it's spelled DaBaby. Okay, let's get to some of the secondary artists.
All right.
Some of the people that they're listing as the biggest acts outside of the headliners.
Okay.
This just shows, I think, our ignorance to new music, Chad, these first three.
Okay.
Megan Thee Stallion.
Yeah.
Okay. Megan Thee Stallion.
Megan
I've heard
Stallion.
Of her.
A Texan.
Doja Cat.
Oh, yeah.
Never heard of Doja Cat.
I've heard of Doja Cat.
Machine Gun Kelly.
Yeah.
Is that a yes?
Yeah, I've heard of Machine Gun Kelly. That's got to be a good show.
Are you messing with me right now?
No. Got to be a good high-energy show.
Okay.
The guy that played Tommy Lee in the Motley Crue movie.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Black Pumas.
Okay.
Excited about that one.
Excellent.
May go see them next week.
Yep.
Greta Van Fleet.
Of course.
And St. Vincent, who I'm a big fan of. Followed by Modest Mouse, another band that I'm a big fan of.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then it is, with the occasional Band of Horses, it's a bunch of artists that I've never heard of before.
Gotcha.
Phoebe Bridgers, Jack Harlow, John Party, Bleachers, Mark Ribollet, Polo G, Alice in Wonderland, and that's Alice in Wonderland, Lane 8, Phineas, Dermot Kennedy, John Batiste, Freddie Gibbs I've heard of before, Tanya Tucker. I guess they're going with more of
Tanya
a country
Tucker
tilt
still,
this year.
How about that?
All together. Trixie Mattel, Duran Jones and the Indications. We played them on the show the other day. I mean, it really is a bunch of names that I just haven't seen before reading them off this list. Asleep at the Wheels performing.
There you go. All right.
But
ACL.
Yeah.
Tickets on sale? Ready to roll?
Tickets are on sale.
Coming up?
As of literally 20 minutes ago.
Very nice.
So you can get general admission plus, VIP, and platinum.
There you have it, kids. If you haven't seen George Strait, he's going to hit ACL Fest for you and tear the house down. That should be an interesting show. Interesting show for ACL. Billie Eilish would be great, too.
I'll be curious to see where they put George. Like, do they put him Saturday? Uh-huh. You're not going to put him Friday, I don't think. Do you put him Saturday or do you put him Sunday?
Yeah, it's a great question. I've seen Stevie Nicks in the last few years. She still does a really good job. That voice is awesome. I'm sure Miley puts on a good show.
Does Stevie Nicks still put off the witch vibe?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
A lot of good long flowing clothing. Sometimes she'll just spin around in the long flowing clothing. It's great. That last tour, she just told stories all night. It was like a storyteller's version. She would just tell stories about the songs, sing the songs. It was great.
Occasionally grabs a broom off stage and dances around on it.
Sweet.
During guitar solos.
She turns the guitar player into a frog during the solo, and he still nails the solo. It's awesome. One of the best things I've ever seen.
Which song is it that she normally takes a break to tend to the cauldron?
It's a badass cover of Witchy Woman. That's when she does that. I put a spell on you right after that. All right, so there's your ACL stuff. Check out the list. Get your tickets if you're interested. Up next, we'll tell you what happened last night in the play-in scenario in the NBA. Finally got a couple decent games, especially that LeBron-Steph matchup. Plus, there's an anniversary that's going to make us talk about some of the best taunts in the history of sports. We'll get your thoughts on some of your favorites. We'll talk some NASCAR in the crap bag. And coming up at 1, it's our movie review. Yeah, I made Trey watch a Marvel movie. We'll see what he thought of Ant-Man coming up at 1 on the Horn.
Shirts and skins.
Let me practice. Talib. Quali. I can't say it. That's why.
Okay, ready?
All right. Trey's going with Talib Kweli today because he's part of this week's podcast, Books on Pod. Trey, the man's written a book now?
He has. It's called Vibrate Higher, a rap story, and he gave me about 30 minutes of his time to discuss that, and it was wide-ranging conversation. We talk about his life in and out of music, some of his biggest influences, his friendship with Dave Chappelle, and a whole lot more. You can check it out at booksonpod.com, or you can hear part of it coming up on this show at 2 o'clock today.
Very nice. And shout out to our man Eddie from Fight Night. I believe he's the guy that turned me on to Talib Kweli back in the day.
That makes sense.
When we were working
Eddie
together.
Likes good music.
Yeah. He has a great musical taste, and I was really enjoyed the stuff that I've heard from Mr. Kweli. And again, that comes up, a little bit of that interview coming up at 2. Also, before we get into a little NBA and some taunting, let's update you on the PGA. They are at Kiawah Island, and the wind is blowing. The lead is -3. That includes Martin Laird and Victor Hovland. I know Hovland's a guy that has been picked as a favorite by some. Keegan Bradley also at -3. Brooks Koepka up to -3 as well. You've also got names like Sink and Morikawa at -2. Some of the other names I'll keep you updated on. Other than Mr. Koepka, how about Scottie Scheffler, the Longhorn? He's done. 72 is what he shot today. So even par, just 3 shots back. Dylan Fratelli, +1, so 4 shots back of the lead. DeChambeau's at +2. Rory McIlroy, +3. Justin Thomas, +3 in their early going. And then still to come is Mickelson, Spieth, and Dustin Johnson. They will all tee off a little bit later on. Jordan Spieth's going to tee off around 1 o'clock our time. So that is coming up here this hour. We'll keep you updated. I think Phil Mickelson is just getting out onto the course. Dustin Johnson will be getting out there as well very soon after 1 o'clock. So we got all that going on. Also, congrats to the Texas women's tennis team. They took care of Florida State in a major way, didn't suffer a loss. And then we go ahead and take the singles players off the court, get them ready for the Final Four. Congratulations to that crew. They will take on NC State tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock. You can check it out on the Tennis One app if you like. You can also watch your Texas men's tennis team taking on USC in the round of eight this afternoon. 4:30 on the Tennis Channel. Our man Tom, who is there watching it and listening to the station at the same time, says if you listen closely, you can hear Tom screaming on the Tennis Channel. So there you go. Tom, the Emily Wolf fan, is also a massive tennis guy.
Is that right?
He says you can hear him screaming. So if you want to listen today, watch it and check it out.
That's interesting because I've hung out with Tom a little bit, gone and seen some shows together. He does not strike me as the scream his head off type.
Is that right?
I think this is Tom's response to being as cautious as he has, and understandably so, over the last 15 months. He's just letting loose now.
Yeah, exactly. And he could just be Hook'em Horns guy or Let's Go Horns guy or whatever it is. You know, he may have a specific yell that he does that you can hear.
I'm thinking it's something more tennis-specific because he is a tennis lifer.
Serve that ball. Serve that ball. Hopefully Tom and the Longhorn tennis teams are doing well, having a good time. Obviously, they're doing well in Orlando. Hopefully, Tom is having a good time in Orlando.
You know what I'm guessing Tom is? He's the guy who screams really loud when there's a let.
That probably gets you thrown out.
He's just helping the ref.
Yeah, he is. Did you watch any of LeBron and Steph last night?
No.
Lakers and Warriors, it was a pretty good game. Back and forth. Early on, it looked like Golden State was running away with this thing. Looked like it was going to be their night, but right out of the half, LeBron and Anthony Davis and the Lakers realized one key thing. We are bigger than they are. And if we go to the paint, I don't think they can do much about it. Mm. And they were right. They put a little run on them. That made it close. And then it came down towards the end. LeBron James hits a massive fall-away three when it was tied at 100 with about a minute to go. So it wasn't a true buzzer beater, but it was the game winner. 103-100. And, Trey, say what you will about LeBron. I know there's some people that aren't the big fan of LeBron, but what a moment last night. He gets fouled by Draymond Green. And he went to the floor and immediately covered his face, and you couldn't see it in real time.
Well, he was getting mocked afterwards for acting.
Yeah,
in that moment.
But when you went back and looked at it, he got poked in the eye.
Ah,
because you know Draymond Green didn't exactly go full verticality here. He got those arms over a little bit, and he poked him in the eye. So, and you could see it with LeBron after the game that the left eye just wouldn't quite open up. So he claims that when he took the shot, he was seeing three rims, and he shot at the middle one. So
just like playing dead when a grizzly bear comes after you, Chad, if you're seeing three of something, go for the middle one.
Go for the middle. LeBron hit the big shot. L.A. wins, and they get the 7 seed locked down, so they will take on Phoenix. That means tomorrow night, Memphis is at Golden State. The winner will be the 8 seed and go play Utah. Tonight, we've got the Eastern Conference version of that game, which is Indiana at Washington on TNT. Winner gets Philadelphia as the 8 seed.
Chad, were there any showboating or taunting moments in last night's Warriors-Lakers game?
I mean, as much as they allow now in the NBA, they don't allow as much as they used to. But yeah, there were moments. The one they always still allow is Steph. Steph is a taunt guy all over. There's three-pointer signs and guns being thrown up. And he hit a big shot at the end of the first half last night and ran off the court and was yelling and screaming and pointing at fans and stuff. It was great. Good energy because And you asked the question yesterday about fans. It was about 6,000 fans or so.
Oh, really? Okay.
So, I mean, they're far from a packed house, but there at least was energy in that building. But, yes, there's a little bit of taunting that still goes on in the NBA.
Well, the reason why I'm asking, Chaz, because today is an anniversary, an NBA anniversary, but also the anniversary of one of the all-time great taunts in all of sports. It was 27 years ago today that Scottie Pippen, as Axios Sports put it, ripped out Patrick Ewing's heart on national television with a thunderous, wildly disrespectful dunk. You know the play that we're talking about. He comes from the left side. Ewing tries to challenge him. Not only does Pippen dunk, but he hangs just long enough to kind of knock Patrick Ewing down, and then he stands over him. And this happened, I believe, in the Eastern Conference Finals. And it was one of those moments that will be burned into all of our brains for the rest of our lives.
Oh, yeah. That was
I'm sorry, it was Eastern Conference Semifinals.
Eastern Conference Semis. That was a big one. That was a huge moment. And, you know, they covered that in The Last Dance. If you haven't seen The Last Dance documentary and even kind of like the NBA or Michael Jordan, go check that out. But that was a big moment for the Bulls, a big moment for Pippen, a big moment for just the overall attitude of that team. Because back in those days, Trey, you couldn't back down. You had to show your physicality. You had to show that you – and the Knicks were in the process of trying to get the Bulls. They were in the process of trying to show, no, we're more physical. We're the nastier team. You guys aren't blue-collar. We're blue-collar. We can do it. Pippen made a huge statement that night, and it was a great taunt. I think the NBA is my favorite place for taunts. They don't allow enough in college basketball. But yeah, basketball by itself, because of the proximity of the sport, it allows great taunting possibilities because you're right there next to the guy.
Now, some secondary factoids about that moment that a lot of people, myself included, probably did not remember until right now. After Pippen stood over Ewing, because this game was in Chicago, but Spike Lee was there courtside because Spike Lee watches a lot of Knicks games. And in that era, he was at every Knicks playoff game, home or away.
Right.
Remember some of the classic moments in Indiana and other places like that. Pippen, after he stands over Ewing, finds Spike Lee in his courtside seats, points to him and says, "Sit your ass down."
Nice.
And I had forgotten this, but when you do the math, 27 years ago, that would have been a year that the Rockets won it all. And it would have been the year that they beat the Knicks in 94. And so that was game six. Chicago wins that game to force a game seven. The series goes back to New York, and the Knicks win the seventh game. So they do kind of get the last laugh in that series.
I forgot it was that series. Okay.
But how about this? Scottie Pippen has recently said that Patrick Ewing still won't speak to me because of that dunk.
Wow. Now that's a taunt right there. That's a big moment. Somebody else says Dikembe Mutombo and the finger wag.
No question.
One of their favorites, especially then when someone got to do it to Dikembe. That was a great taunt. This says Steph taunts and celebrates layups and free throws. Yes, he does. There's all kinds of stuff coming from Steph Curry. Let us know what your favorite taunts are. This is all sports now. All sports taunts. Could be players, could be fans. We're going to talk about a lot of different stuff today on the anniversary of Pippen going into Patrick Ewing's soul.
As a Longhorn fan, Chad, I would be remiss not to bring up what may be the most consistent taunt in all of sports that my people are on the receiving end of nonstop. And it's why I've encouraged people for a long time, don't let this get to you, because the more you let it get to you, the more it's going to be done to you. And that is the horns down.
Yep. Yeah. No, that's it. There aren't very many taunts like that in sports I can think of. It is a unique one.
I mean, it's up there with like the middle finger,
right,
which I almost did to the Twitch cameras just now.
It is, right? It's kind of that. It is kind of that from other fan bases. You've seen it from players on the field.
Oh, yeah.
Coaches in games. Hello, Houston Nutt and others.
It's so vicious. The Big 12 threatened penalties a couple years ago to teams that were doing it.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
Well, that and the fact that we were being a little bit soft as Longhorns back then.
Oklahoma does it in the team picture when they beat Texas. And I mean everybody, head coach included.
That's true.
So, yes, if you're a Longhorn fan out there, you have been on the receiving end of that kind of historic taunt, unique taunt. So for you, what are the best taunts out there? You would be an expert in a way if you're a Longhorn fan, because you got to learn how to deal with that one in your everyday life. Otherwise, you're going to be like Vince Young at a strip club challenging somebody to a fight. You can't fight everybody that does that, Trey.
There are still plenty of people listening who always text in when we bring this up saying, "I don't give a damn. I see somebody doing the horns down to me on game day. We're going."
I know. There are still people that think that. So for a lot of Longhorn fans, that is the ultimate taunt because it could cause a fight. So give us your favorite taunts in all of sports. Up next, speaking of sports, how about NASCAR coming to COTA this weekend? Talk to Rodney Rodriguez of Revved Up Sports. We'll tell you about their show this week, a little extra show for them this week as well. He'll get you a little preview of the action out at COTA. Just pray that rain stays away. This is The Horn.
Shirts and Skins with Chad and Trey. Brooklyn, New York City, where they paint murals of Biggie and Cash. We trust, cause this ghetto fabulous life look pretty. What a pity, blunts are still 50 cents. It's incense. Street sense is dominant, can't be covered with incense. My presence.
Woo, the man can fit some words in. That is Talib Kweli. Trey, what's this one called?
This song is called Definition. It's actually Talib Kweli and Mos Def as Black Star, which is probably what he's still most well known for all these years later, despite the fact that Black Star only put out a single album, I believe. And he does talk about his relationship with Mos Def in his new book, Vibrate Higher, and also the conversation he had with Books on Pod. You can check it out now at booksonpod.com, or stick around till 2 o'clock. We'll actually play a portion of my chat with Talib Kweli.
All right, let's get into the crap bag. A little bit of golf and a lot of NASCAR. Here we go.
Chad's crap bag.
Crap bag. If you need an easy way to remember it, just think of a bag of crap.
Yes, not many people would combine golf and NASCAR, but they are going on this weekend. One of them's at Kiawah Island. I'm really interested in the PGA. Keegan Bradley, Brooks Koepka among the group at -3. Jordan Spieth's going out there at around 1 o'clock. We'll keep you up to date on the part of his round that will happen during the show. They will go at, I believe, either 12 or 1. Maybe they're already on. Yeah, they're on now. ESPN for the first couple rounds, and then you're going to transition to CBS later in the weekend. Speaking of the weekend, keep those fingers crossed for the rain, but NASCAR's coming to COTA all three series. Let's go to the Vaqueros Cafe and Cantina hotline and talk to the host of Revved Up ATX. If you haven't checked it out and you are a gearhead, this is your show. Saturday mornings, 11 to 12 is when you want to be dialed in. And this week, you got a special edition, also 12 to 1:30 leading up to the Cup race on Sunday. So you got some Revved Up ATX both days. Rodney, how are you?
Doing well, Chad. Trey, hey, I did some show prep before I came on.
Excellent.
My 18-year-old walking through the house. I said, who is this singer? She said, it's DaBaby. DaBaby.
See?
Well, thank you, Rodney.
Yeah,
I appreciate that.
I'm telling
you. Thank you for clearing that one up.
Yeah, see, that's just Trey's questioning my hipness, so I appreciate you, and more importantly, the hip teenager you got access to making me look cooler. I appreciate that. I appreciate
and
it.
I had no clue. I had
So, Rodney, tell me, is this the first time that the Cup cars will be at the COTA track?
Yeah, other than a couple of tests, we saw Goodyear tire tests, and I think Toyota had some cars out there. But this is really the first time, and they're not going to be on the track, guys. They are not on the track until Saturday. It's one practice.
Wow.
It's going to be 50 minutes, and then they qualify on Sunday. And it's the fascinating part is there's not any notes, there's not any technology, there's not anything that they have to fall back on. So it's kind of run what you brung, as we say it in the racing business.
And I was reading an article today where some big-time drivers, I'm reading articles with names like Truex and Kozlowski in it saying, yeah, I've never been on this track. I tried to do a little simulation, or I tried to find a couple laps that somebody had videotaped, but some of the biggest names in NASCAR are going to go into this with very little, if maybe not, sometimes maybe no experience, correct?
Yeah, they absolutely have no clue, and it's like nothing else that they've ever seen. I mean, yeah, we race on different road courses around the there's nothing quite like this. For one, this is the longest. I mean, almost 3.5 miles out there in the rolling hills, and just the elevation. I mean, you ramp up, you go up that hill up into Big Red, and then you hang that left, and you're straight down into the back up once again, and it's going to play havoc with setup throughout the races. The stages are going to be so important because this race is going to be won or lost in the pits, because they're going to be modifying and tweaking, as Rod says, these cars around all day long.
Yeah, it's going to be wild to see how it rolls. By the way, if people don't realize, all three series will be out there. Saturday at noon is the truck. Saturday at 3, Infinity. And then Sunday at 1:30 is when the Cup cars are scheduled to go. Now, Rodney, I know a little bit about this track in that I know when the bikes come out there and they lay it down on the corners and, you know, do the knee burns and all that. I know when they hit that straightaway, it's about 150, maybe 150, 160. Where are these cars going to top out? When they hit that straightaway, how fast are they going to get to? They're not getting to 200 out there, are they?
They just might. They might, because this is in the high horsepower package this weekend. So when they hit that, because that coming out of turn 10, that straightaway back there, it's a half mile or just over a half mile. So they have a long strip right there where they're going to hit the gas. And I would not be surprised. You know, we don't know. I mean, we don't know because there hasn't been anybody out there. But we'll be watching telemetry because I forecast, ironic with the weather being what it is, I forecast that we're going to see 200 miles per hour because that is just a straight shot. And these cars, guys, they sound so badass out there. I mean, you're used to the Formula One cars, but when I went out for the test, I mean, you hear them coming. I mean, you hear the roar, and it's that nice deep bass sound, and it's going to be an eye opener for folks that have been out for Formula One in the IndyCar race. This is something totally different, and people are going to fall in love with this. I promise you.
So you mentioned that that big climb to turn one. It's one of the most unique things anybody's ever seen on a track. What kind of sometimes the discussions at a super speedway are about, are we going three wide or are we going four wide? How many wide could we be seeing as they head into that hill right before turn one? Is there going to be a bit of a group there at times?
I was actually talking to one of the Austin area truck drivers that races in the Camping World Truck Series, Austin Wayne Self, a couple of days ago. That's actually at hornfm.com. And one of the things that we were talking about was exactly that, Chad. And he's telling me that, I mean, and this is with the trucks. I mean, these are the bigger vehicle. We're thinking four to five wide going up that hill into that turn. And, of course, you have the runoff area over there. And, I mean, these guys don't care. Hell, they'll try to make a move on the outside. So we could see five. We could see five. And it'll be neat watching them go into the corner. What's going to be even cooler is watching them try to come out on the other side because odds are somebody – one, two, or three of them will probably not come out at the other side.
I think that's probably fair. Talking with Rodney Rodriguez, Revved Up ATX, Saturday morning at 11, Sunday special edition, 12 to 1:30, getting you ready for the cup race as well. So, Rodney, as I was learning about NASCAR, when I married into the family I did, my father-in-law is a massive gearhead, and I learned about road course races, and I learned that hired guns were part of it back then. So I haven't seen Boris Sedd's name on the list yet, but are there any guys like that now in 2021? Are we still doing the hired gun thing, or are they making the guys drive their car no matter what?
You know, it's funny that you bring up Boris Sedd. He is actually entered in the truck race.
Oh, stop it.
He just entered Wednesday. He was just added. But no, that's the fascinating thing about how NASCAR has progressed. These guys, they brought in the road course ringers is what they called them. And we talked to one last year named Ron Fellows that was one of the guys that would come in and actually do that. I mean, they would put him in, a team would bring him in for, you know, Watkins Glen or whatever it was. Now it's not needed anymore. I mean, these guys come in. If you get one of those quote unquote road course ringers to come in and they run these cars with these guys, they're probably not going to beat them because you have guys that work. Chase Elliott, the defending cup champion, has won four of the last five road course races. He's the odds on favorite going into this, but these guys are so good. Kyle Busch has won four times. Martin Truex. These guys, they've honed their skills to where they are multifaceted to super speedways, intermediates, road courses, and now even dirt. We're watching guys do extremely well on dirt because they're doing a lot of dirt racing in their downtime.
NASCAR hits COTA this weekend. Go out there and check it out. It's going to be truly unique. As Rodney's saying, this is the first time. First time these NASCAR Cup cars are going to be out there, and they're going to be learning while it's going. But there's a lot of cool stuff going on with practice and other things. Keep it right here on the horn. You got Revved Up ATX, 11 o'clock on Saturday morning, at noon on Sunday for the special edition as well. And Rodney, if they're following you on Twitter, at Revved Up ATX.
At Revved Up ATX, and I'm at the Rodney R, and we are, weather permitting, we're supposed to be broadcasting in that fan zone in the Grand Plaza. So get yourself out to COTA, come see us, be a part of the show. This is not like Formula One. I can't stress that enough. You're going to have so much access. You'll be able to do so many different things. It's going to be, I mean, when you talk about things loosening up, the NASCAR experience is so much looser than Formula One and IndyCar. It's going to be great.
Going to be awesome. All you gearheads, get out there. Rodney, always a pleasure to talk to you, sir. Looking forward to a busy weekend, and hopefully the rain will stay away, man. Y'all have a great time.
All right, man. Appreciate it, guys. Y'all take care.
Good. Thanks, Rodney.
Good stuff. Rodney Rodriguez, revved up ATX. If you're into that race, and it is truly unique. This is a day and age when these guys get hours and hours of simulation. They get all this track time and practice, and we're going to go over there and test. And I'm reading about some of the biggest names in NASCAR. It's like, I've never driven on the track. Man, I'm just going to throw the car out there and see what happens. It's going to be a wild weekend out there at COTA. It's going to be fun to see how those cars deal with the uniqueness of the COTA track. All right, coming up, we will keep you updated on the PGA. That wind is whipping like we knew it would at Kiowa. We'll keep you up to date on the leaderboard. Yes, Tim Tebow is official now in Jacksonville. We'll get back into that discussion. But up next, it's Thursday. It's 1 o'clock. Let's hit a movie review. I thought in May it'd be appropriate to finally get Trey to sit down and watch a Marvel movie. I picked Ant-Man. We'll see what he thought of Paul Rudd and the crew coming up on the horn.